and welcome to the ADHD Manual Podcast. My name is Abby Miner. I'm a marriage and family therapist, an ADHD certified clinical services provider, and a proud ADHDer. This is a podcast for people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and those who love us, which covers pretty much everybody. Growing up with a colorful brain in a black and white world can make us feel like aliens. The manual we've been given to guide us through life doesn't have any diagrams of the parts we've been given. I've decided to stop throwing away my parts and start throwing away this useless manual to write my own. So kick off your shoes, have a seat, and take a break from fitting yourself into a mold that's not your shape. You belong here. Allies, welcome to the ADHD planet. ADHDers, welcome home. Hello and welcome to another episode of the ADHD Manual Podcast. I am today and every day Abby, your host. Today is Christmas Eve, and if you are celebrating that today, I hope you're having a nice one and a safe one, even if it might look a little different this year. Regardless, I hope that the end of 2020, which is fast approaching, is treating you well. So let's hop right in today. So today I want to talk about time blindness. What do we mean when we say time blindness? What does that look like when we say that time blindness is often a symptom of ADHD or autism? And some consequences of it, as well as maybe some tips to help deal with time blindness. So first, what is it? Time blindness is basically exactly what it sounds like, being blind to time. And what we mean by that is not that we're incapable of telling time, or that, you know, we look at a clock and, you know, we can't tell you what time it is. That's not what that means. What it means is it's an inability to gauge the passage of time. And this is different from the skill of telling time, which is taught, right? This is more of a executive function that a lot of people do very naturally. It's this kind of like internal tick, tick, ticking of like feeling time pass and having a sense of how much time has passed, how much time is left of a given task, as well as estimating how long a task will take you. So one way that Dr. Russell Barkley uses to describe time blindness is a nearsightedness to the future, which I love. If you were to search Russell Barkley time blindness on YouTube, you could pull up his whole talk on it, which is very informative and spells it out very well. So basically, being nearsighted to the future means that when it comes to the future, when it comes to time ahead of us, we can only see what is very close to us in the present or very close to our faces, right? And for example, to the ADHD brain, there are two times, now and not now, which I think you've probably heard me say before. And what that means is that things like planning into the future is very difficult for us, as well as, Dr. Barkley has this great phrase that he used to describe it. It's something like, people with ADHD constantly find themselves in one crisis after another because they're constantly not in the right place at the right time with the right things that they need. Something like that. It's so basically there's so many skills that go into time management, right? As a, you know, as an executive function as a whole, right? And a lot of those things that neurotypical people can do without thinking very hard or without much effort. But for us, it's not as natural. And time blindness, personally, I think people with ADHD and autism struggle with it to varying degrees. But for me, I think time blindness is by far the most impairing part of my ADHD. Has been my whole life. And time management is always something I very, very deeply struggle with. So just to give you a sense of what it feels like, there are a lot of people who are really great at describing this. It's kind of cool to look into. So I'm sure if you look up like time blindness examples or what time blindness feels like, you could find some more. But for example, for me, 6 hours from now and 6 years from now feel the exact same. Like my investment and the level to which those times in the future impact my present are the same. So it's very abstract to me. And so that's kind of the thing that's kind of interesting about time blindness, is that like time is abstract, right? Like if we were to, you know, define it or, you know, describe what it is or what it feels like, it'd be kind of hard to do, right? Because as a concept, it's pretty arbitrary. I mean, who decided that there are 60 seconds in a minute or 60 minutes in an hour? You know, it's just kind of some people who decided that's how it goes. So the whole idea of time is quite abstract, but and a social construct. But for neurotypical people, that's much easier for them to grasp than it is for us. So people with ADHD might say, like, they constantly feel like they're running out of time, right? Like there's never enough time in a day. They might feel like they're always in a hurry. They might feel like time is racing, like the whole day is gone and they don't know, they don't remember any of it and they don't know where the time went. When I was a kid, I was never without a watch. I always had one. It was one of those weird neurotic things that I always had to know what time it is. And that makes a lot more sense now, given that I had no internal sense of time passing. And it got to be really weird in that I was really good at estimating what time it was without looking at my watch. But that's just a totally different skill than estimating how much time has passed, or even making that knowledge of how much time has passed mean something to my present. So when I say I'll be there at 6:30, I feel myself dragging until 6:30. I know it takes a half hour to get there, and at 6 o'clock, I know it's 6 o'clock, but that thing that connects the time to my actions, the thing that links the future reality to my present decisions and behavior, doesn't exist. So knowing the time has very little to do with feeling it and having that feeling correspond to hurrying up and getting out the door. It's like I'm driving in my car and time is like a driver driving the same direction, but in a different lane with like a barrier in between us, right? So keeping track of time takes the same amount of energy as it does to constantly be aware of where that car is at all times while driving mine, which also takes a lot of focus and energy, even though it has absolutely no bearing on how fast I go or where I'm going or what lane I stay in, because there's a barrier in between us, right? So it feels arbitrary and it is like a totally separate thing from me and my car. And it's always in my blind spot until it appears right next to me and like spooks me. So that's kind of what it's like. So because of this, we might constantly underestimate how long a task will take. You know, we'll be in the shower and, you know, 20 minutes feels like 10, and we just have this idea that when I shower, I take 10 minutes, even though it constantly takes us longer. And so we're always feeling like, oh crap, you know, what time is it? I'm late. Another example is I was just talking about this today, right? So I celebrate Christmas in general, like with my partner, and it is now, when I'm recording this, 3 days before Christmas. But we haven't done a whole lot of like Christmas prep things. You know, we haven't like decorated our apartment, and we haven't gotten a Christmas tree, and, you know, even planning presents is really difficult, especially now, because it used to be that Christmas was the deadline, right? That we would see our loved ones on Christmas and then give them their gifts. And so the 25th was the deadline. But now that we are separated for the holidays, you know, we have to factor in that shipping time. And I just can't do that. So how I was explaining it is that, like, I have never been much of a Christmas prep person, because Christmas isn't on my radar until it's on my radar, you know? So if other people like are doing prep work, they're decorating, they're trimming the tree, they're baking cookies, like I'll happily participate in that. But it's like, I don't really have that sense of Christmas is coming, right? I only have the feeling of Christmas is here. And that's kind of how it is with everything. So in general, the theories about why this is, like, where does this come from? Our inability to estimate time. It's kind of mixed. There are a lot of different theories, and probably it's the result of a ton of different things, right? I mean, our brain, there are so many different parts of our brain that have to cooperate in order for us to perform executive functions, right? So one part is the prefrontal lobe, which is kind of in charge of organizing our behavior over time. And that's something that we have deficits in. Others have theorized that time perception also involves communication between areas of the brain, including the hippocampus. So that's another theory, that it's like the communication element. And then the other theory, of course, is dopamine, right? I think there is a huge part of how dopamine impacts our perception of time, and everybody's, you know? So like, for example, like when we say like time flies when you're having fun, I mean, that's real, you know, when we're doing something that's really enjoyable, our brain kind of slows down time, you know, to pretty much like keep us doing the enjoyable activity, right? Whereas if something is really boring and does not give us much stimulation or dopamine, it feels like it's forever. Another way to look at this is that dopamine impacts our estimation of time. So too little dopamine means a slower internal clock, which makes us estimate that less time has passed. So we always are surprised at how far behind we are and how little time we have left. Whereas increasing dopamine speeds up our internal clock, which means that the amount of time we feel is passing is closer to how much time is actually passing. So it makes sense that if you have a slow clock, you're more likely to be late than if you have a fast clock, then you're more likely to be early or on time. And I even know that just based on how medication influences my perception of time. And how I kind of describe it is that, like, my medication gives me more time in the day. Like, it helps me pace myself more, and it helps me feel time a little better. And that's, you know, when we say that stimulant medication makes you more productive, I think this is part of it, right? It's that kind of being able to regulate your perception of time. So what are the consequences of time blindness? I think for the people with ADHD, I don't even need to answer this question. You already know, right? You have a very intimate knowledge of how your flawed perception of time is impacting your life, you know, and it hits us everywhere. You know, the neurotypical world, man, they love their time, don't they? Being on time and connecting values with punctuality and making being late a moral failing or a symbol of disrespect, you know, they love their time. So as you can imagine, we struggle with that, and we hit roadblocks in many areas because of that kind of incompatibility. So for example, like obviously just being on time to things, you know, appointments, obligations, you know, this is another reason why procrastination is a huge piece of it. You know, so part of it, like we talked about, is the interest-based nervous system, right? That's definitely part of it. That needing dopamine sources or adrenaline sources in order to start motivation and executive function. So it's definitely part of it. And also a big part of procrastination is our inability to feel time, you know? So like a project that's due 3 weeks from now, it's so much not on our radar, right? It's not here, it's not right this minute, and there are a lot of things crowding my attention right this minute. So It's a, in a sense, like I think overall, something I notice in ADHD in general is kind of that out of sight, out of mind, right? Because we also struggle with working memory, which is like holding things in our memory when they are out of our sight in order to use the information, right? Working memory is like holding information while you're using it. So in general, this is something we struggle with, like that out of sight, out of mind thing. And it's the same with time. You know, the present is in our sight and the future is very much not. So that's another big reason. But something that's really interesting, though, that I wanted to go into is I wanted to circle back to emotional hyperarousal, right? So I may have mentioned this in the episode on emotional hyperarousal. I don't remember quite. But essentially, a big part of it are really intense emotions is also due to time blindness. It's because, and working memory, you know, it's kind of connected. It's basically when we're feeling an intense emotion, it feels more intense because of our impaired ability to sense time. So basically, it's really difficult for us to sense a feeling and also sense that feeling is temporary. So when we are excited or happy, we're very happy or excited because that's our present and that's our whole world, right? Whereas if we are, you know, angry or ashamed or sad, that's eclipses our total vision, right? So a big reason why you might see intense mood swings or larger emotional reactions in people with ADHD is partly due to this. You know, again, there's no stoplight. There's nothing pausing the emotions from being in the center of our intersection. So the now is our feeling, and the not now is any feeling we've ever felt before or after it. Okay, so what do we do with this information? What are things that those of us with ADHD can do to help fake it a little better and help us maybe blend in to the neurotypical's obsession with time? How do we do that? So I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I have literally read every time management article, suggestion, list of tips that is out there. And it's really frustrating because a lot of time management or increasing productivity resources that exist are just so far removed from our reality. Like, they all assume the baseline of a neurotypical's time perception, right? So a lot of times when we're looking for time management tips and we stumble across neurotypical tips, they're not useful. So anyway, I'm hoping to maybe make them a little more ADHD specific, and then I also have some ADHD resources that are really good to look into as well. So the biggest thing that I can suggest is make time tangible or visible. Since we're missing that thing that neurotypical people have of making time real to them, we need to supplement that. So usually what I suggest is making time visible, right? So I really strongly recommend analog clocks instead of digital clocks. Analog is the one with the hand and, I'm forgetting what they're called, the hour and minute hands versus just like the numbers on a screen. And the reason for that is that while digital clocks are simpler and more convenient to look at what time it does not supplement that part of us that can't feel time passing. Whereas an analog clock makes that visual, right? A second hand goes around and around and around, and we can see how the time is passing. So that is really important. I really recommend that. I have clocks in literally every single room in my house, and they are all 10 minutes fast. because again, you know, my internal clock is slower. So I really need, and a lot of times, like, people will say, well, you know, it's 10 minutes fast. So, I mean, you know, it doesn't really work because you just subtract 10 minutes. Well, I mean, that doesn't, it still helps. Like, definitely sometimes when I'm really thinking about, like, okay, do I have time to do this? I'll look and I know I can subtract 10 minutes. But that quick glance of, like, you know, looking at the clock and seeing it's 10 o'clock makes me move faster. Whereas looking at the clock and seeing that it's actually 10 to 10, it doesn't make me move faster. So it's a lot of, like, I really recommend, even if you know that it's fast, like, I think it helps. Another cool thing with making time visible is there is a timer, and it's called Time Timer. And it's basically a like an analog type timer, right? Except as the time is running out, there's a red disc in the face that you can see slowly get smaller. So you can set it for, you know, 45 minutes, and then it'll give you, like, it'll make 3/4 of the clock face red. And so as your time gets less, that red space gets smaller. So it's a great way to visualize that time is running out and to kind of quantify how much time is left. So I really recommend that. Another cool thing might be hourglasses, even, as opposed to, like, the digital timer on your phone if you're trying to time a specific amount of time. Again, it's that visual of watching the sand, you know, drip away and watching your time fall away. If you don't get too wrapped up in the, you know, mortality thoughts about that, then it can be really helpful to visualize the perception of time passing. So I want to make a little comment here that I received a great comment on, I believe it was my article on time blindness, on my website, that was from someone who identified themselves as blind and said, and asked basically for suggestions on how do you make time visible if you have ADHD and also you don't have access to those same kind of visual tools, which I thought was an excellent point and something that I really tend to overlook, that a lot of the times the accommodations or suggestions for ADHD might not be compatible with other disabilities. And many, many, many of us have other disabilities as well. So I believe what I suggested at the time was a clock or a watch that, or an app that says the time in, like, specified intervals. So, like, every 15 minutes, tell me the time. Or a timer that, like, every 5 or 10 minutes announces how much time you have left. So that might be one option. But, I think there are probably a lot of other time-telling tools for visually impaired folks. But I'm always open to suggestions. So if anyone has, you know, a suggestion for how to help with time management and how to make time more tangible without necessarily making it visible, I'd love to hear it, because I think that's relevant to a lot of us. So the next thing that I would say is to know your weak spots. So we all have places, activities, times of day that are particularly difficult for us to track time or feel time. So for example, my weak spots are in the bathroom. Time absolutely flies in the bathroom. I am always in there too long. And part of it might be because I'm typically in there the longest in the morning and in the nighttime, which are also my weakest parts of day. I mean, part of that is that, like, my medication not quite kicking in or having worn off, that makes a big difference. But it's also just, you know, related to my maybe circadian rhythm, maybe. Because I have always been extremely slow to wake up. and it takes me a really long time to get moving in the morning. So knowing that those are my weak spots, I did put an analog clock in the bathroom, also 10 minutes fast. And we also have a clock in our shower. And I don't know about you, but I particularly lose time in the shower. So that's been a helpful tool. So the next one's going to feel a little silly, but it's to time yourself doing tasks, particularly like daily or repetitive tasks or parts of your routines, because we will always underestimate how long things take us. And it can be really illuminating to compare the reality of how much time has passed compared with what you feel about how much time has passed. So it's usually pretty helpful and a good idea to do this like multiple times, you know, because the time that it takes for us to do tasks can vary. So if you can remember to do it repeatedly, that can be a really good thing to maybe just like, then you can analyze like the average time it can take you to do a task, or you can notice patterns, you know, for example, like morning and night, like it takes me considerably less time to shower and do all my bathroom stuff at night than it does in the morning. So that can be kind of helpful to get multiple data things. And one kind of tool that's pretty cool that I have, and it is expensive, I splurged on it, but it's pretty cool, and it's called Timular. So it's time and then U-L-A-R. And it's basically like I don't know how many sides it has, like eight-sided like shape. And it has basically like eight different faces, right? So whichever face is on top is the activity that you are wanting to time. So basically it's a timer that that keeps track of when you switch between activities, and it adds time depending on what activity you're doing. So I labeled, it has like a dry erase, and you can label one side shower and then another side blow drying hair, another side makeup, right? And so then when you are, you know, in the shower or doing your makeup, you can rotate it so that the side that says makeup is face up, and then it'll time that activity, how long you're doing your makeup. And then it can send it to, I believe it has an app. It has an app and a computer program. So it'll send the data there. So it's kind of cool if you're, you know, feeling like treating yourself, or if you know someone who might really need that, it could be really nice because it also keeps you more mindful of what you're doing and the transitions between your activities, which is interesting. And then something I recommend when you have that data, especially if it's for creating your routines, it's to create or like compile all of those times and create a routine that has realistic timelines. So an app that I love is called Little Countdown. And I've only been able to find it on iOS for Apple products. But I'm always looking for if there's an equivalent on Android phones. So if you know of it, please let me know. But it basically does what I don't see in many other apps, which is it can basically help you count backwards to when you have to start your routine. So you can, you know, you did all this work of recording how much time it usually takes you to do all the steps in your morning routine. And then you can put in those steps and how long it takes you. And then you can put in what time you need to be done by or leave the house by. And then it will count backwards and tell you what time you need to start. So you know, you can put in all of that and then it'll say that it all adds up to an hour and a half. And if you say, I need to leave the house by 9, it'll tell you, okay, you have to start by 7:30. So I think it's super helpful. I wish I could find something like Android that can do the same thing. It doesn't seem that complicated, right? It should be easy to do, but, you know, I'm constantly surprised by how little there is, specifically geared towards us, you know? but that's been really helpful, but I'm sure you could probably do that on your own as well. You know, if you compile how much time it takes you, you know, if you have all this data, then you can backtrack yourself as well. But the app is really cool because it'll tell you also when to switch steps. So it'll say like, okay, you should be moving from shower to getting dressed now, you know, things like that. Another tool that some people have found helpful is using the Google Maps leave reminder. Probably other map applications have it as well, like maybe Waze or maybe Apple Maps. But basically, if you were to like put in a route, so if you put in your work address, it should give you an option of when you want to get there, and then it should be able to remind you what time you have to leave, and then it'll factor in things like traffic or weather. So that can be kind of cool. I think I had issues with getting it to reliably remind me. But again, probably there are a lot of other people who are much better at that. So it's just something to look into. If you can get it to work, it can be kind of cool. And then lastly, I just want to give some other resources for some other people who have also looked into time blindness and time management quite a bit and have some really good ideas and tips to tackle it. So one of them is, the website is Black Girl Lost Keys, and that's run by Renee Brooks. And she actually has a whole like a workbook on improving time management in relation to time blindness. And she, I believe, has written a lot about time blindness on her website as well. So that's a really cool place to check out. And then the other really popular one is How to ADHD. It was originally in a YouTube channel, I believe. And I think she has a website and podcast as well. So that's How to ADHD, and it's run by Jessica McCabe. So I'll put those in the show notes. But if you want to learn more about time blindness or hear some more ideas about how to deal with it, those are great places to start to avoid getting really discouraged by the many neurotypical suggestions for time management. So that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next year, 2021. I have a lot of hope that it'll bring maybe some more, more good things than 2020 did. But if you're having a holiday season, I hope that you have a lovely one and take care of yourself. That's all for this episode, but there is plenty more at my website, theadhdmanual.com. That's theadhdmanual.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Reddit at theadhdmanual. Do you have a question, comment, or story? Then I want to hear it. Email me at theadhdmanual@gmail.com. Very special thank you to my brother, Joe Miner, for composing this theme music, and thank you so much for listening. And remember to be kind to yourself. See you next time.